James.
Yes, Cook.
You know what time the month it is?
Recap time.
Recap time. You know how it is. We always get to talk about who downloaded from where, so I'm excited about that.
Me too. Welcome to the Steelers Metallic Podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host, Cody. Cody, it's good to see you.
It's good to see you too, James. It is very good to see you too. Excited. I feel like we were just here a few days ago.
It was dang near back-to-back, man. Only a couple days in between these episodes.
Yeah, right. Wednesday? Wednesday was it?
Thursday.
Thursday.
Was it? I don't know.
I don't know. Whatever. It was one of those days.
Yeah. Well, Wednesday or Thursday, I feel.
And it's going to be another short week. You want to know why?
What?
Because I think we're recording Sunday night.
Are we, though?
Are we? I don't know.
I don't know. It might be Monday night.
Maybe. Depending on what time we get back, yeah. Yeah. We'll have to figure that out.
Because you know we're going to end up stopping somewhere.
Probably. Purgatory or something. I did talk to my buddy Rhino, and he said that he's down for us getting food in Pittsburgh. So
yeah.
We'll be getting lunch in Pittsburgh before we go to training camp
with Rhino Hulk.
Yep, Rhino Hulk from Rhino Hulk Gaming LLC. Go check him out on Twitch. And excited for that. So it'll be the three of us and my friend Noah.
Yes.
Is also coming, and potentially Nick Pretzel. I'm working on figuring that out. Rhino got his own ticket. So we have the four other tickets. We're just trying to wait and see how everything's going to figure out.
You know, this would be the first time I've met Nick, and I'm a fan of Nick because Nick's a fan of us.
Yeah, Nick is a big fan. He listens to all the podcast episodes as well as even hangs out when we stream Madden.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which we typically do after the podcast on Monday nights. But
also holds the title of the most recent 5-star review on Apple Podcast. I'm just saying.
That's true. That is true.
In case any of you wanted to put a new one out there, you'll get a shout out at the show.
You will get a shout out on the show. All right, time to go over the top states that we got for downloads. So Pennsylvania was number one. No surprise there. Now, I don't know if you remember, James, but last month it went Pennsylvania, North Carolina, edging out Ohio.
Yes.
And then you had, I believe it was Florida, then Indiana. And I called out those Floridians and Indianians.
Floridians,
whatever.
And Indians?
Sure.
I'm like, no, it's probably not Indians.
But I called them out and I said, hey, I would love to see you guys in the top three. When I go to number two, we have Indiana this month at number two.
Woo-hoo!
When I go to number three, we have Florida at number three. And then we go Ohio at number four in downloads, and then Texas number five. Now, North Carolina, where you at? Just kidding.
And this is close. There's only one download between Indiana and Florida. Also, only one between Florida and Ohio. So the three of y'all battle it out again next month. Let's see if this shakes up a little. Huh?
Yeah. Some friendly competition.
Tell your friends. Download an old episode to cheat.
We
whatever.
Know you guys have friends in state that are Steelers fans. Just show them the episode. It's on Spotify. It's on Apple Podcasts. It's wherever you need to get it. It's even on iHeartRadio. Yeah. Or you can just listen to it on the Podbean app. That's also an option for you. But then again, so we can't thank you guys enough for all the downloads we're getting. We're still getting great support out of Canada as well. So we thank you guys up there in Canada. Friendly neighbors up north. That is correct. But let's go ahead and talk about Steelers news.
Yeah, man, the first bit of news is actually kind of sad. Troy Polamalu has been diagnosed with COVID. Apparently, he feels fantastic. So this is one of those where he probably was just getting tested to make sure that he was safe for the upcoming Hall of Fame ceremony and tested positive, which is awful. There is a possibility that he won't be able to be there for the ceremony on Saturday when I'm going to be there for my first ever Hall of Fame ceremony.
Yeah, it's sad.
Which would be awful. It's great to hear that he's doing fine and it isn't one of those bad cases, because some people get it real bad, obviously. But I'm sure if he's not able to test negative and clear protocols and get there and whatever all, I'm sure they'll just do like a Skype thing and have a TV set up or a projector set up.
The big projection in the background that they'll show highlights or whatever they're going to show on.
They'll make it work.
He'll be there one way or the other. Yeah. 100%.
Might even make him more comfortable, honestly. He said he was a little nervous about speaking in front of that many people.
You won't be able to see him.
No, it might make it easier for him if he's doing it from home.
Yeah, very true. Real excited for that. Real excited for James to go experience that. And then even before that, Thursday, don't forget, we have the Hall of Fame game, which James and I will be together for in order to watch that. So, again, we'll probably, I don't know, what, you want to make that decision now? Do you want to, Facebook Live? Do you want to just live tweet the game?
We can probably do some live tweeting and then maybe go live at halftime, talk about takeaways from the first half.
I like it.
Yeah, and then we won't do one after the game. We'll save that for the podcast on Monday.
Yeah, to get the full game details.
Mm-hmm.
Keep you guys hungry for more.
Yeah.
I like it.
Plus, I don't want to keep my wife up. By then, it'll be like 11:30 at night.
That's true.
So.
I don't want to keep myself
up. Yeah, I'll need to go to bed at that point.
Fair enough. Next on Steelers news.
Some tight end transactions. Tight end Dax Raymond injured. I know this sounds familiar. It happened last preseason as well.
Shocker.
Yeah, unfortunately. So he was waived, injured. Nobody claimed him, so he actually reverted back to the injured reserve of Pittsburgh. So he'll be able to come back off once he's cleared up from his injury, probably somewhere in the middle of the season.
Fair enough.
They did sign tight end Marcus Baugh, who's 6'3", 6'4", about 247 pounds.
He had a catch last year for two yards.
The Washington football team.
Yep. Speaking of Marcus Allen, on the other hand, is making a name for himself as the number one punt protector.
That's right. That is a starting position on a football team for special teams.
You're one of the starting 11 on that punt team.
That's right, man. It's actually a really important position. I mean, Jordan Dangerfield was not that good of a safety, but he was one hell of a personal protector, and he was really good at reading how the return team lined up. So it was his job to call for a fake punt anytime he recognized a weakness in how the team was lining up. So that'll be a responsibility of Marcus Allen's now. Which I think Marcus Allen's probably a better defender than Jordan Dangerfield ever was. And I think that might actually give them a little more of an advantage on him being able to read that basically defensive alignment. I like the idea. This is a bigger guy, 215 listed as a safety, but now he's a middle linebacker. Wouldn't be surprised if he's 220, 225 now. So he's going to be able to hold up a lot better if somebody throws a bull rush at him. Let's see if it's just a jailbreak, he might actually be able to hold it off.
Yeah.
And then thinking flip side of this, what if they decide to run the ball with Presley Harvin III? Now you got a guy that can actually probably throw a block.
Oh, I thought you were just going to be talking about Presley Harvin being able to throw a truck stick.
Well, there's that too. But
Presley Harvin going to hammer something.
He's going to throw it.
There will
be a fake punt with him throwing the ball.
Probably in preseason.
It's going to happen.
It'll happen in preseason.
I don't think they'll waste it in preseason. I think they'll wait and use it in the regular season.
That's fair.
You don't want somebody actually knowing you're going to do it. It's on his college tape, but most teams probably weren't scouting punters that closely.
That's fair. You
probably had like four or five teams that were actually scouting punters. The rest of them were like, screw it, we'll just go with the guy we got.
Yeah.
You know, so probably, three-quarters of the league has no clue that he has an arm.
That's fair. We'll wait and see what happens. I think I would love to see that in training camp on Sunday.
We might. You never know.
Never know.
I kind of doubt it, but.
That's true. We'll figure it out. Either way.
That'll be awesome if it happens, though.
Steelers did announce their own Hall of Honor.
Yeah, they do four guys every year, right?
Yep.
And this could be guys that are Hall of Famers. Could just be guys that were really important in Steelers history. And that's kind of where this year's class comes into play. So number one, Tunch Ilkin, an important part of the offensive line of the Steelers in the 70s and 80s.
Yep.
And then has since been extremely active in reporting on the Steelers for the last, I don't know how many years, but very beloved in the city of Pittsburgh.
100%.
Recently diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's. This is a really nice way of honoring Tunch, knowing that his time may be limited. It's a good way of showing their appreciation for him during his playing career and after as well. Next guy on the list, John Kolb. John was the starting left tackle for the Steelers during the 70s runs, and I think was on all four teams. Very good. If you ever saw pictures of him from back then, he was muscled up, man. you didn't have a lot of guys that were big into weightlifting in the 70s. He was definitely one of them. There's no doubt about that. Your next dude you'd probably also remember, Carnell Lake.
Carnell Lake. We've talked about him before. This is the area that I normally let James go off, though, because he got to see some of these guys play. So he enjoys talking about them. But Carnell Lake was a corner back in the day. Safety.
Safety primarily.
But he did play corner.
The one season that Rod Woodson tore his ACL in the first week of the year trying to tackle Barry Sanders, of all people. Tore his ACL on that artificial turf in Ford Field back in the day.
Should have never even tried. Barry's just going to be gone.
Came back and played in the Super Bowl that same season because Rod Woodson's a goat. Just amazing. No one's ever done that, torn an ACL, come back the same year and played. I remember him breaking up a pass in that game against the Cowboys that year, which unfortunately was not a win for the Steelers. But I remember him jumping back up after breaking the pass and doing the whole, like, incomplete wave in his arms.
Yeah.
And then pointing at his knee and waving his arms again, saying, my knee's fine. I'm good.
But here's Carnell Lake
started at corner that year.
Okay.
And made the Pro Bowl.
Corner, made the Pro Bowl. I think partly teams wouldn't let players do that nowadays.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd try allow them. Yeah.
And most people just can't heal that quickly.
True.
I think Adrian Peterson's the only one to have that kind of turnaround time. He did a complete recovery in like six months.
Because of when the injury happened. Yeah. Yeah, crazy to see that. And the last guy on the list, Louis Lips.
Yeah, man, Louis was one of my favorites growing up. Because let's be honest, when you're watching the Steelers in the mid to late 80s, early 90s, there was not much to cheer for other than the defense. The offense, your stars were Merrill Hodge and Louis Lips, and everybody else was not very good. So Louis was a lot of fun. He was the first one that I remember from my youth that when the guy caught the ball, they had the chant. It was Lou, which later on we got familiar with Heath. Yep. The Heath chants. They did Lou for Louis Lips. And that's what I remember. And I remember asking my dad when I was young, are they booing him? He said, no, they're saying Lou for Louis Lips.
But the emphasis on the ooh, so it sounds like boo.
Yeah.
Got it. Makes sense.
Oh, that reminds me, by the way, Pat Freiermuth has officially said he wants it to be Muth.
He does.
Just like we said.
He does.
Back when he got drafted, we said it should be Muth.
We know a thing or two about what you should call people. And sometimes Steeler football. But speaking of defense, we were talking about defensive, how the defense was the big thing back in the day of your day watching them growing up.
Yes.
Defensively, we got a guy by the name of Loudermilk.
Isaiah
Loudermilk. And the coaches have started comparing him to none other than one Cam Hayward.
Don't do it.
Don't.
That's what Cam says, too.
Whatever.
He says, find your own path, young man.
It's still a good comparison.
It's a compliment.
100%.
It's a huge compliment that he's drawing any comparisons at all. And honestly, if you haven't looked at any pictures of him, he does kind of look like a young Cam Hayward. There's definitely some resemblance going on there.
But I think I like it because Cam's basically saying, you know, and this is what I'm getting out of it.
Find
Cam's
your own
like,
path.
Cam's like, don't try to be me.
Yeah.
I can teach you the things that I know, but don't try to be me. Be yourself because there's a potential of you to be better than me.
Yeah, and what Cam succeeds at and what is his strengths is not necessarily going to be Loudermilk's strengths.
Correct.
So he wants him to focus on what he's good at, enhance those qualities, make those better. Cam's a pretty big-time power player. Isaiah might be more of a finesse guy. Maybe he's better at those swim moves and making people miss on that offensive line instead of just powering through them. So he wants him to focus on what he's good at and just creating his own path instead of trying to be a clone of Cam Hayward.
Yeah.
Which is good advice. Very good advice.
We'll take that for sure. Moving on from there, we have some other information, James.
Yeah, there have been a lot of injuries on the offensive line so far.
Lots of them.
A ton. On one practice, they finished with only 7 or 8 healthy guys, and there's 15 of them. You got enough guys on this roster to have 3 lines worth of offensive linemen. We're going into this
first preseason game.
Yeah, it's sketchy, man. Okorafor hasn't really practiced. The right tackle, Banner, hasn't been in a contact drill other than today. Today was the very first one that he actually got into a little bit.
Good.
Not in the live tackling portion. but he did get some actual physical contact going on. Dotson hasn't practiced yet.
Yeah.
Trey Turner's been missing for most of the... He came back to practice today. So that's a refreshing thing to see that he came back.
Now, there are some benefits to this that we'll get into a little bit, but the concern is that, hey, these guys, some of these guys are starters.
Yeah.
And they need to be ready to go.
Yeah, and that's absolutely... And it's when we talked about like our guaranteed guys, right? It was like the top eight guys were pretty much locks. Well, of those eight guys, there's only like one or two of them that are healthy right now.
Yeah.
It's just scary. And Kendrick Green is probably, him and Dan Moore are the two healthy ones.
And they're the rookies.
Finney has been injured. Hasenauer has been injured. Both starting guards, both starting tackles. It's, yeah. So this is really
concerning.
Creating a real opportunity for the young guys for a lot of playing time. That's for sure.
Yeah. This is actually going to go ahead, and I know that we talked a little bit about, you know, the offensive line here. This is going to lead right into our next section of wins and lose, winners and losers of camp so far.
Yeah.
And a note, we're going to go through positions, but let's just start with the offensive line because we're talking about
them. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that's where the winners are on this, is both Green and Moore, the rookie offensive linemen. The young draft picks are getting lots of time practicing, lots of reps. And it's mostly because there's no other healthy bodies to practice, man. They'll probably get a lot of playing time in this preseason game against Dallas. And again, just because they don't have a lot of guys.
Yep.
It's important that they get the reps anyway. You want to see their progression. You want to see how they do against some players on Dallas. Although I don't think the Dallas D-line is necessarily the most intimidating group. But you got to get them up there against some other people.
Yeah.
In a live situation. So... they're definitely two of the winners on the offensive line. I'm not going to do anything as far as losers so far because it's really tough to say
that's
that.
That's fair. That's fair. But losers is everyone who's injured, basically,
yeah,
at this point.
Yeah, that's it. You know, if you're missing time injured, that's a real negative.
Yeah. Who are the winners, James, as far as the quarterback is concerned?
Right now, I can only consider one, and that's your boy, Dwayne Haskins. Dobbs is having a lot better camp than a lot of people expected. Very few opportunities. But he's pushing the ball down the field, getting a lot of touchdowns out of his opportunities. But Haskins is looking a lot better than a lot of people expected. A little more accurate than people expected.
Yep.
And really shows that live arm, pushing it down the field, completing some deep balls. Now, again, a lot of this is not against the starting secondary. But you're seeing some success there. And a little bit more than what Mason's having right now. Mason's struggling to keep the ball out of the defender's hands a little bit more and struggling to compete the deeper balls too.
Yeah.
So definitely a win so far for one Dwayne Haskins. Running backs.
Yeah, running backs. So big winner for that we're realizing right now is Anthony McFarland. McFarland's running with the two team.
Mm-hmm.
So playing higher than Benny Snell right now and also making plays. He broke one big run off in practice that they talked about. We don't know the exact yardage on it, but he's averaging the most
40 though.
Yeah, he's averaging the most yards per carry, granted probably because of that 140 yard run. Mm-hmm. But hey, if he runs the ball once every 10 plays, gets a 40 yard run, that's a pretty good look.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's something that they've been lacking the last few years, is that explosive capability out of the running game. And he's, like we talked about, 5 pounds heavier this year. So right around 200 pounds now. So look for him to really make some impact this upcoming season. Definitely in the preseason games.
Definitely.
Kalen Ballage really excelling in backs-on-backers drills, holding his own and then some in those drills, and getting more reps so far than both McFarland and Snell as far as carrying the ball.
Impressive.
Yeah, and then what else is impressive?
Najee Harris.
And how freaking big and strong he is.
Beefy.
Holy cow. So he weighed in at 230 at the combine, right?
Yep.
His playing weight right now is 240 at a 6% body fat.
Well, that's some lean meat if I've ever heard of it. This is the best way I could describe that.
He is almost identical to the size of Derrick Henry. I always try to tell people this is a Derrick Henry size kind of guy. And they're like, no, he's way bigger. Derrick Henry's 6'3", 247.
Yeah, this cat's not way bigger.
6'2", 240.
He probably looks bigger because he's not as lean. Derrick Henry's not quite as lean, and Derrick Henry is, what, the 1 inch? Even if, let's say they round up on height-wise. Let's say he's six one and a half, and they round it up to 6'2", and Derrick Henry's 6'3", and,
and an eighth.
Yeah, and an eighth. They round it down. Whatever. They're still very comparable size-wise.
Very, very.
I don't know. Yeah. I'll take that comparison.
Yeah, I'm all in. I can't wait to see this kid run this year. And maybe even more importantly, in his pass protection and receiving out of the backfield.
Yeah.
It's going to be nice to have that kind of weapon again. James Conner was decent catching the ball, but we were spoiled with how good Le'Veon Bell was out of the backfield. And this is another guy with that kind of capability, maybe even more so, I think.
I like the thought. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, man. Yeah. Winners, I hope he plays in this preseason game.
He should.
He might not.
Winners for tight end position.
Yes. So it's a two-way battle for that number three position, right? Eric Ebron, unfortunately, has been injured most of the padded practices so far. He's got an elbow injury. Has not come back from that quite yet. Kevin Radar is impressing with his catching capability.
Good.
And Zach Gentry looking a little bit improved on his blocking, which is important.
Very important.
And just crushing people on seam plays when he's running straight down the field in the middle of the field. That 6'8" guy is difficult to cover.
Yeah.
So hopefully he can show some of that in the preseason games as well. He ought to have plenty of opportunity. Wide receivers.
My boy Rico Bussey,
yeah,
is making a name for himself at camp.
Which really
is
impressive.
Very enjoyable. They're comparing him. We talked about this last week. They're making comparisons of him doing AB like things, and we're not talking about throwing things out a window.
Yeah, gummy objects.
Yeah, or anything like that. We're talking about the playing on the field. So that's great. And then also a guy by the name of Tyler Simmons. You've heard us talk about him. He was the Georgia guy that didn't get to have a pro day last year. If you remember, I was talking about him before. And so he put a pro day together this year when Georgia had their pro day. It was a great performance on his part. And Pittsburgh signed him immediately after. So two undrafted guys making a name for themselves. I like it.
Yeah, and special teams is what they're talking about with Tyler Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
So return game. Here's another guy with some potential in the return game. And it's good to see some competition for Ray Ray, right?
100%.
Don't want to just hand a job to anybody at any point in time, really, even if they're amazing at it. And I think Ray Ray's a very good return, man. But hey, if we can give him some competition, let's do it. Your boy Isaiah Loudermilk is going to be our focus on the defensive line, just because not too many other guys are really getting a whole lot of praise right now.
No.
So that's going to be the one guy that right now is winning in camp. And good to see. You want to see it from the young guys. This brings me actually to a thought that I had earlier that I shared with you. And you're looking at the Steelers' defensive line room right now, specifically the defensive end type guys. Your Cam Hayward and Stephon Tuitt, right? They're not going anywhere. Tuitt's got 2 years left on his deal. Hayward's got another 4 years. Wormley directly behind them just signed a 2-year deal. You got the rookie Loudermilk, and then you have Henry Mondo, who is one of the very few defensive ends in the entire NFL playing kick coverage at 280-plus pounds. So that's some real plus athleticism from Henry Mondo. It makes me think that maybe if we get close to that roster cut down, maybe Wormley ought to get traded again.
Maybe.
We traded for Wormley. Now the depth is a lot better than it was then.
Yeah, the depth is better, and he'd actually free up $1 million of cap space with only having $600,000 dead cap money. So the trade-off there would look, valuable to Pittsburgh if the trade made sense to get another draft pick or
I would say
to get another offensive lineman.
If you can get a fifth or sixth round pick in return, I'd really consider it. If somebody'd be willing to give you a fourth, take it.
Yeah. That's no questions asked.
Yeah. So we'll see how, as the preseason goes on, people always get injured, teams start getting desperate. Mm-hmm. And maybe, just maybe, the fact that they've got some extra bodies in that room that are NFL capable might benefit him enough to regain some of that draft capital that they traded away. You know, they traded away a future four to get Loudermilk. Man, if you could get a five or a four in return for him, for Wormley, hey, you're back in business.
Yeah, you're back to almost even to some degree. It's a guy for a guy, player for a player. So with that being said, moving on to outside linebacker position, we have Jahmyr Jones.
Yeah, Jameer's really doing well in the backs-on-backers drill. They're saying he's just kind of forklifting some dudes and really throwing some of these running backs around. So
it's not a bad thing.
That's a good sign for that for sure. Also, Quincy Roche, not a lot of noise out of him early in camp. Starting to be a lot more now.
Yeah, we need that.
Yeah, yeah, he's getting the opportunity because Cassius Marsh has missed a few days with an injury. So,
understandably.
Yeah, so now you're going to get some more opportunities in those backs-on-backers drills. Earlier on in the 11-on-11 drills as well. So nice to hear some positive things out of Quincy Roche. Off-ball linebackers.
Yeah, off-the-ball linebackers. You're really going to see UG3 showing some
old flashes.
Yeah, that's the best word I could describe it. He's performing well. This is a guy that James and I, UG3, Ulysses Gilbert III. James and I have been high on this guy for a while, just because we like him. I don't know if there's any real reason. He's fast,
and he played so good in the preseason last year. In just 2 years in a row, unfortunately, has suffered back injuries that's caused him to miss a significant amount of time. If he can just stay healthy, he's an incredible depth piece. And right now, he's running as the number three middle linebacker behind the starters, Devin Bush and Robert Spillane.
Yeah, again, that's huge that he's in front of Buddy Johnson.
Yeah, yeah, and in front of Marcus Allen, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, really interesting to see there. Also, Calvin Bundage, the rookie undrafted guy. He was the one that was actually released.
And then re-signed
him. And then re-signed after Vince Williams was let go. They're saying he's really flying all over the place and packs quite the punch when he hits somebody.
It's what we need. We need a guy who packs the punch.
Yeah, plus, you know, you want some young guys for the practice squad.
Oh, need him. Need him.
Yeah, and that's good because you're going to get a nice, like, 22-year-old type kid that maybe you can develop in future years, depending on how contracts go with some of these other guys and who stays, who leaves.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who's leaving and running to the house.
Who?
James Pierre on the pick six, man.
Ooh-wee. That's true. James Pierre picking it and sixing it. That's why they call it a pick six.
That's one of your winners in the cornerback position right now.
Yeah, James Pierre. I mean, we talked about it enough on the podcast that if you're an avid listener, you know James Pierre is turning heads in training camp, making plays, just really making a name for himself. And someone else that we didn't even put down here that's more of a cornerback than safety is even Anthony Brooks Jr. is a comparison.
Oh, yeah, Antoine Brooks Jr. Antoine. He's having a nice
I was thinking Anthony nice McFarland camp. Again.
Yeah, and he's down, what, 15 pounds? He's down to 205.
Yeah, he's down a lot of weight. Antoine Brooks put in the work in the offseason to lose some weight, and he's going to make some – they're looking at him as the Mike Hilton position. So he's another player that I would classify as a winner for training camp so far.
Yeah, because nobody really saw him going from backup strong safety to starting nickel, and that's basically what he's pushing for. It's almost a battle between him and Pierre, honestly, because Pierre's really impressing, and it might force them to push Cam Sutton into the nickel, into the slot position there on nickel downs. But if you're in like a third and short, I wouldn't be surprised if they lean more towards Antoine Brooks for his run-stopping capabilities. Also, Stephen Denmark really putting together a nice camp so far.
Yeah.
And this is a big kid, 6'2", 217. His pro day, he ran a 4.4, 6.40.
His mom said he should have ran a 4.3.
43 and a half inch vert.
Mom said he should have had a 44. Just kidding.
No, but realistically, freakishly athletic kind of guy with that kind of size. Pittsburgh's looking to fill out the back end of that cornerback position. These are young guys that are really stepping up to the plate right now and making Justin Lane look expendable, which is scary for a third round pick.
Very scary.
But just, you know, he's got to bring it.
He's still bringing some trade value. Late. So there's a plus maybe. There. Maybe. I don't know.
I would hope he's a third-round pick.
Someone's got to need a cornerback bad enough that there's some trade value there.
Somebody liked him a lot in that year and would do it.
Yeah.
Somebody.
They'd give us a third or fourth for him.
Also, Cam Sutton looking good, getting a lot of pass breakups in those fade plays I'm hearing.
Yep. No picks yet from Cam. Running those
fades.
No picks.
Breaking up some Chase Claypool jump balls.
Need a pick.
5'11 versus
6'4. You still need to pick it off.
I'm good with him breaking it up.
Hands on the ball.
He's getting them.
Catch it.
Okay.
I'm just going to keep doing it.
He's not doing that yet.
But he needs to.
He's got the hands, dang it. He was a return man.
He does. Moving on to safety. Yes. Big winners here, Trey Norwood.
Mm-hmm.
Has a pick already.
Yeah, he does, and he's looking good.
He is looking good. We haven't seen it, but he's looking good.
When he was drafted, they called him that jack of all trades, you know, and were they going to use him?
The pocket knife thing.
Yeah, the Swiss Army
knife. Swiss Army knife, yeah. Yes.
So was he going to play slot? Was he going to play outside corner? Was he going to play safety? Well, it looks like free safety is where they're honing in on for him, and it seems like a natural position. So I'm happy to hear that because, honestly, the safety depth was a big question mark. And now it's starting to take place a little bit.
It is.
Lamont Wade, too, backup safety out of Penn State, undrafted guy.
Another pick.
He's got one, too. So some ball skills from these backup safeties. If they do this in some preseason games, they're really going to help themselves out.
That they are. So, again, we're excited to be at training camp this Sunday, giving our own personal opinions on what we see, how we think they're performing. We're excited to give you guys that information either next Sunday or Monday, more than likely Monday. Just kind of count on that being the same. And then, again, we will be live tweeting and the game on Twitter. If you haven't followed us on Twitter, you can follow Steelers by Lake or either of our personal accounts. And then we'll be going live for Facebook Live, more than likely, maybe even both of that and Instagram, for halftime to talk to you guys about how we think the first half went, what we think of the people that got the start and the people that came in the second half or, you know, any time throughout that first half.
Yeah, even the what we can learn from the order of how people are coming in, because there's a lot to be said about that on how the depth chart really is versus what they tell us it is.
Yeah, 100%. So, again, we can't thank you guys enough for all the continued support. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Steelers by the Lake. And until next time, this is your hosts, James and Cody. Signing off.
Peace.